It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's another hurricane season. And right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
You'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
It occurs to me that after we hit our 100th episode, we just kind of made a brief mention of it and then moved on. Didn't do much of anything with it. We just said, yeah, here we are at 100 and moving into season two. Season two has been going on as normal, folks, but something new has been added. Today is a rather momentous day. This is the first podcast that we will be featuring in partnership with Texas Scorecard. Now, Texas Scorecard has been in this great state of Texas for many, many moons. Some of the thought leaders in news coverage and in holding government accountable and not looking at the conservative side of the ledger and treating us as pariahs. Texas Scorecard, very much a part of the group who remembers what real journalists are supposed to be. And part of journalistic pursuits is recognizing there are different takes on issues, conservative, progressive, anti-American, pro-American, that kind of thing. So, The Texas Scorecard has been doing that for, again, many moons, geared at holding our elected officials accountable. And when we started to do talks about having the Salcedo Show as part of their repertoire, which is expanding like you wouldn't believe, I was very eager to. I jumped at the chance. Couldn't wait to join such a fine group of individuals who are trying to do, well, basically what the basket of bias press has completely neglected, which is without fear or favor covering the news and making sure the conservative side of the ledger is well represented in that coverage. So we are pleased as punch to be a part of the Texas Scorecard. You're going to hear some of their writers and some of their journalists come on the program. You already heard Aaron Andrews last week. We've had a relationship with him a long time, meaning, you know, hey, I'm a conservative. You guys cover conservative issues. So, yeah, I mean, that was a natural fit. But this is more official. I mean, we're going to be on their website. And I encourage you folks who are in Texas to check out the Texas Scorecard. And even those of you who are outside of Texas, you might be able to shame individuals who claim to be journalists into actually covering news fairly and accurately. They could take some lessons from the Texas Scorecard. Folks, we have a pretty big show today. It's the show behind the show with Sean Chastain. And by the way, speaking of Texas Scorecard and Sean, one of the things I'm going to be speaking with him about is I had a very proud moment. And I was talking with Michael Quinn Sullivan, the founder of Texas Scorecard, in a video podcast. He did. He sat down and he interviewed me, which was kind of weird to be on the other side of the microphone, and wanted to know what the Salcedo Storm podcast was all about. And I said, well, it's about anything and everything, whatever sounds interesting to me, which most of the time is conservatism and government and how things are going in the country. But as you all know, it can branch off into spirits, not the spirits that float around in the ether. But although, you know what, I'd love to talk to one of these paranormal investigators. That'd be kind of cool. I think wouldn't that be a great podcast? Talk to the paranormal investigators. Anyhow, so I'm sitting down with Michael Quinn Sullivan, and I brought this up to him that Sean and I are going to be talking about this because it's going to come as news to Sean. One of our podcasts, one of the Salcedo Storm podcasts, was, well, several of them, have been kicked off of YouTube. They can't stand conservatives. They can't stand Hispanic conservatives. So YouTube is targeting your liberty-loving Latino and kicking us off. And so I'm done. I mean, first off, it's proud when you have a bunch of people who are more devoted to communism and left-wing extremism the way Google is. Google owns YouTube, and they seem to have more in common with communist China, which they bend over backwards to accommodate censorship of communist China. And, you know, free thinkers or individuals who want to ask questions, that's no longer permitted on, you know, if you want to ask, hey, is there anything to this report about blood clots with the China virus vaccine? Even though now the CDC has come out and said, yes, there is a relationship and it's official, and they have been able to demonstrate that medically speaking, YouTube says, nope, we're not going to talk about it. You can't talk about it. That's medical disinformation. But the CDC says, oh yeah, no, medical disinformation. If it interferes with our left-wing idiocy of saying you must take the vaccine unquestioningly, you must be pinned down and injected, you know, unless it's that, YouTube won't allow you to on their stupid, moronic, and censoring platform. So I am committed now more than ever to promote alternatives to YouTube and getting all conservatives off of YouTube. It's just, I'm done. I can't stand censorship. It is draconian. It is communistic. It is fascistic. And I will not partner with such unreliable partners who are so insecure as to not allow people to say unpopular things or even popular things or even ask questions. You can't even ask questions. That's how non-thinking these people are. They also, and I think I said something about this on the podcast, one of our podcasts with Congressman Pete Sessions, a sitting congressman who was talking about data that he gleaned from the Dallas servers about the vote. YouTube said, nope, can't talk about it. It's a what? So confirmed data from servers in Dallas County. YouTube says, nope, can't talk about it. Can't ask questions. You must go through elections and whatever left-wingers tell you it is, it is. That's YouTube's stance. And if you question leftists, you will be banned. So screw you, YouTube. That's what I say. Going to be talking with Sean Chastain, my buddy. It is the show behind the show, and I will be informing him that it was his podcast. And again, folks, usually, you know, Sean and I, we're not talking about necessarily political things. We're talking about, we're shooting the breeze about everyday life. So the fact that YouTube got their panties in a twist over something we were just jabbing about, it adds more insult to injury. The show behind the show, next on the Salcedo Storm Podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
Folks, it's time for the show behind the show. Our buddy, my pal and yours, as we say, Sean Chastain joining us. Hey, man.
Hey, friend.
You and I have been canceled officially.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. I'm actually... When you and I do a podcast, we try to talk about, you know, real life and try to avoid all the political discussion, but this is how YouTube rolls. You remember when people started reporting blood clotting as a side effect from the vaccines, right?
Right.
And there are people that got kicked off of YouTube for these violations for talking about this and reporting on this, right? Well, fast forward, you know, months later, and CDC comes out and says, oh yeah, by the way, blood clots. But YouTube doesn't go back. Google doesn't go back and say, oh, hey, we're sorry. Come back. We didn't mean to destroy your livelihood and all that, all your audience that you built up on YouTube. They just say, F you and go about your business. They never say they're sorry. So I have no idea what medical disinformation was. And I wasn't going to listen back to the podcast because these people are Gestapo. I swear they're just uninformed, unintelligent douchebags, and I wasn't going to dedicate my time, so I said, screw it. I'm looking for any way to get off of YouTube as soon as humanly possible.
Right.
I don't even know what we talked about. I don't even know what it was. And you know, at this point, I don't flip and care because it's just, it's so arbitrary and I'm just done with censorship. I hate censorship.
I'm sure it was me because I just make most of the stuff up anyway. So.
Well, it was probably your opinion, right? And that's what opinion says.
Right.
That's what, sorry, but YouTube says. You can't have an opinion. If you don't agree with Dr. Fauci or the CDC, what they're saying this minute, because, you know, it changes with the tides.
Sure.
So if you're not agreeing with the CDC that minute, well, Frank, you know what? It doesn't even matter. Because if I came out today and I said, if I repeated verbatim what the CDC would say, YouTube would take me off because it was me saying it. That's just how they are. So aware it is
well,
a badge of honor.
The good thing about getting canceled is, or about the whole cancel culture, is that eventually it'll just die because they'll start canceling stuff that they like. And then, you know, where do you go from there? When you're the uber woke and get called a racist because you like something, something that gets canceled, then, you know, then where do you go? So it'll eventually burn out. None too soon, in my opinion. But
isn't that already happening, though, with guys like Chappelle?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly. They just, you know, they say, I don't really care. Cancel me all you want. Don't care.
Yeah.
And going to do what I do.
Yeah. Yeah. How'd your week go, man?
Oh, it was all right. Just worked and drove, and that's about it. Work, drive, sleep. That's all I do.
Worked and drove. Anything catch your fancy?
I have a couple things.
Yeah.
One little one to start off, was sitting here on my couch watching TV the other night and heard a sound from my childhood and yours and everyone's. Heard the sound of an ice cream truck coming down my street. I couldn't believe it. I'm scrambling to find a t-shirt to see if I have any cash. 'Cause man, I wanted me a rocket pop when I heard that music. And couldn't get out there in time. There are very few kids on my street, so he was, you know, moving a little quicker than normal. But I was so happy just to hear it and thought, man, what a great side hustle that would be, I think. And it was just cool to hear. And the thought of as I was as a kid, you know, going out begging mom for 50 cents to get a fudgesicle or something like that, you know, and going out and being all excited that the ice cream man was coming. So.
Remember Eddie Murphy did a whole bit on that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh,
ice cream!
Yeah, and that's the way it was. So many neighborhoods across, you know, big towns, little towns, didn't matter. Man, the ice cream man would come around and you would lose your effing mind, like Eddie Murphy said.
Yeah, my daughter did the same thing. We had one buzzing around our neighborhood and she literally did this. Oh, can you hear that? And she's like, can we go? Can we go? I go, well, yeah, okay, fine. She we were in the pool and it's like, she's like trying to get dressed and we couldn't find it. It was somewhere in the distance, but we couldn't find it. Yeah. The mad scramble, dude. I remember
yeah,
those days.
I know. Oh yeah. It was greatness. Greatness. So power to all the ice cream people out there.
Well, hell, I mean, can you imagine the gas though? That it's taken to keep that.
But still, you know, your fudgesicle or rocket pop or orange push up or whatever you're selling, maybe cost you 15 cents a piece, and you sell them for $1.50. So you're doing all right, I would imagine, as an ice cream guy.
But I can imagine these gas prices are cutting right into your bottom line.
Oh yeah, of course it does. But you hit the right neighborhood with a bunch of kids, man. You're gonna make a little bit.
And it's been 150, you know, for the last couple months.
God, I'm so tired of it, dude.
It is.
And
it is a beatdown.
Somebody brought into work today pumpkin spice muffins.
Oh, that's early.
It seemed early, and I'm so effing ready for this summer to be over. I just can't stand it anymore. My yard looks like crap. It's too hot to do the projects I need to do.
Right.
And it's just, God, I just can't do it, man.
I hear
you. It just sucks. I'm so over the heat and no rain.
Well, here's
just over it.
I got some rain 2 days ago, but that was, it was a nice steady shower and it was welcome.
Yeah.
Here's something else. The wife comes in the other day and says, are you going to believe this? They're already putting out Halloween decorations.
Oh yeah.
And this was a week ago. So it's the beginning of August and they're already putting out Halloween. And she goes, it seems to me it gets earlier and earlier and earlier every year. And I'm so over it, she says. And I'm like, really? I mean, no.
As she's unpacking the little skeleton that she bought.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, I'm so over it. But look at what I got. It's so cute.
This cute little thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But she's soured. I mean, you know, the three kids we raised, and they're getting older now. And she's like, you know what? If they want to go to the nines on decorations and all that kind of stuff for the holidays, they can go out there. They can dig the crates out of the shed. And do it. I'm not doing it this year, she said. She's going on strike. I said, I go, babe, really? Are you that jaded about it? And she's like, yeah, I'm done.
I don't know, man. I went to a friend's house, and it was on Halloween night, and it happened to be a Friday. And this was in Oak Cliff in a suburb of Dallas, neighborhood of Dallas. An old historic neighborhood. And, dude, I rolled up, and it was like a movie set. Because there were hundreds of kids just up and down the street. Everybody's dressed up. Everybody's on their front lawns, you know, handing out candy.
That's so cool.
It was so cool. And I miss that kind of stuff. I really do. Because that was another enjoyment from my childhood that I really, really had a good time with. And we never had a store-bought costume.
Really?
My mom made all the costumes. Oh. And some of them were pretty extravagant. Some of them were pretty neat. Sometimes you had to go as a hobo. I know that's not politically correct anymore, but sometimes you went as a princess or a homo. You know, I didn't go as a princess. My sisters would go as a princess. I was jealous, but I didn't do it. You know, or sometimes you might have to go as a hobo or, you know, a little green makeup and kind of a Frankenstein thing. But yeah, we never had one of those goofy plastic masks and plastic capes, you know, with a little string around the back. We never had any of those.
Well, you know what my mom did one year for a vampire? We had to buy the plastic teeth, but those were cheap. So that was it. That was the only thing that we bought. Got the plastic teeth. She put me in a black pants, black shirt, slicked back my hair with Vaseline. And then my cape was a black trash bag.
Yeah.
Cut and put around my, seriously, this is what we did. Put around my neck, and that was my cape.
Yeah, but dude, you were thrilled.
Oh, yeah.
You were blah, blah, blah. To everyone. And yeah, you know, I know it's so great. So yeah, this is 2 weeks in a row we've relived childhood stuff. And that was the other thing I had to bring today. To reminisce, and maybe it's a matter of age that I'm, you know, I don't consider myself old or anything, but, you know, I know people that have died, my friends, you know, that have died.
Oh, yeah.
And so you start thinking about that kind of stuff. Well, we lost an icon this last week.
Olivia Newton-John.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And she had some serious skins on the wall. She was a superstar.
That was the soundtrack of my childhood, dude. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just talking to my mom about that today. I said, you know, because when she passed, I just dropped her a text. And then so I wanted to call her up about that today. But I mean, seriously, her albums from country into pop,
the
stardom from Grease. And
right.
I mean, she was the complete package. And of course, America's sweetheart for multiple generations.
Yeah. From Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah. which really made her really hot. I mean, seriously.
Oh yeah. She was smoking hot. Yeah, and, but it got me to thinking, you know, we lost her and at a younger age of 73 to cancer. Finally, after having cancer for 30 years, she finally succumbed. But it got me to thinking about the music that I grew up listening to. And I was a child of the 70s. And so I, to this day, love 70s music. It's the greatest decade of rock and roll that there is.
Well, it's great rock and roll, but were you enamored with the disco so much?
That I don't want to go down this rabbit hole with you again. That all falls under the umbrella of rock and roll.
Dude, you cannot, okay? You cannot say. You cannot say the light orchestra was whatever the name of that 70s group is the same as ZZ Top. You cannot say that. Or what was it? No, give me another big band. The Little River Band.
So you don't think the Bee Gees should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I'm just saying.
Well, you just did because you said disco isn't rock and roll.
I didn't say disco. I said disco is disco. But rock,
that's
rock.
What I'm saying. Oh, God. I don't want to do this again, Chris. I'm tried hearing it. You're an idiot. So
okay, whatever.
I'm just saying that okay. The 70s gave us everything. It gave us Southern rock. It gave us punk. It gave us disco. It gave us the early rap.
I don't disagree.
Folk rock. It gave us everything. So that's what I'm saying is
I don't disagree. I don't see why you have a problem with delineating all of those categories inside the 70s. Yeah, that was a great decade for music, no doubt. Almost as great as the 80s.
Yeah, see the 80s, I had no use for 80s top 40. None.
Oh, stop. But, now, see, now,
no,
you
I'm
stop.
Serious.
Now,
I, so stop. I graduated in 1983. And had zero use for top 40 because I was listening to alt 80s stuff. And that's where you heard a lot of huge people now, you know, but
grunge and stuff
then,
like that.
No, that was more the 90s stuff. Never really got into that. But there was a radio station in Boulder, Colorado, that I listened to called KBCO, and they were an album-oriented alt-rock kind of station. So just stuff that you would never hear on the radio except for them. And it was fantastic. Loved it.
Can I share a story with you really quick since we're talking music? Uh-huh. Just really quick. Sean Spicer is on Newsmax, right? And he and I, there's a break before I go to his show and leave my show. So we're talking to each other, right? In the spot break. And one day we start playing each other's iPod and trying to guess the song, right?
Right.
And I think this would be kind of fun to do on the air. And then I find out, see, and this is why all the fun has gone out because of out of music, because of all this litigious society we're in. I find out we can't do it because of copyright infringement. We can't play a game like that because of
God forbid artists get paid for their work.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying you want to
if you want to play it, you got to pay the Arbitron fees and all the other and the ASCAP fees.
Well,
so if Newsmax wants to do a game like that, they absolutely can, but they got to pay the rights.
Well, again, this was just a couple of dudes playing Can You Name That Tune? All right. That's all it was.
I understand, but I'm going to defend the artists on this one.
I'm not saying the artists don't deserve to get, but again, we probably would have given these artists so much more, about $1,000 worth of promotion.
Sure.
And just playing that game and people going at home going, oh my gosh, I haven't heard that song in forever. And that's where you pay them back in free promotion. It's just they've taken the fun out of everything. It just sucks.
Okay.
I think they should get paid. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying that here I want to play a snippet of one of their songs and they're going to go BS crazy and sue because, oh, you didn't pay for it. It's like, dude, I just gave you thousands of dollars worth of promotion for your damn record. So come on, cut me some slack, Jack. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Anyways, but I just
anyway, to my bigger point about music.
Yes.
Is that, man, we are going to start losing some serious names in music.
Yeah.
Because all of the people that from the 70s that I listen to that I still love today, all of the acts from the 80s, you know, the Springsteens, the Bob Segers, I mean, we've already lost Tom, what the hell?
What was his name? Well, I know we lost Michael Jackson. We lost Prince. Those, whether you like their music or not, they were iconic. Olivia Newton-John, we already mentioned.
Right.
Who were you thinking?
Tom Petty.
Tom Petty. Yeah. Was that, wait a minute, hold on. Who did, I got two tickets to paradise. Was that?
Eddie Money.
That's Eddie Money. Yeah, we lost Eddie Money too.
And but we're going to start losing some huge, huge names here in the next few years.
Yeah, and it sucks. It's price of getting older, right?
I mean, Paul Simon is 80.
Paul Simon is 80? You Can Call Me Al is 80? Oh, my Lord.
80 years old, man.
Wow.
Springsteen, who, you know, I can't stand his politics anymore, but the concert's the best thing you'll ever see. He's pushing 80.
Wow. And Madonna, have you seen her lately?
She's got to be what? Early 70s, I would think.
Rode hard and put away wet, dude. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, that's
it. But I mean, you know, you just think about it. Age is going to get us all at one point.
Sure. Yeah. It's
going to be a tidal wave for my generation. Your generation is going to be a tidal wave of people that are just going to die, you know, and we'll be going, oh my God, all the music that I listen to is from dead people.
The music died. I know. Well, every generation goes through it, right?
Sure. Of course. Yeah. But I think for my generation, because I'm a little bit older than you, your generation, that's when music really took off with all kinds of, radio stations playing music and things like CDs and cassettes.
Oh, yeah. You could
take a whole album and play it in your car.
Which was revolutionary at the time.
Unbelievable. We just have a tidal wave of huge stars that we all grew up listening to die off, and it's going to be sad.
Well, not to mention the golden age of movies and TV. I mean, you know, Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford.
Sure.
They're all getting up there. The classic 70s, 80s, 90s Hollywood, they're all getting up there.
Yeah,
is this me being old? But I'm hearing today, in today's music, and I think there's something to this because my own kids will say I kind of prefer your music over today's music because at least I can understand your music's words. Today's just not music. Today is so synthesized and processed. And
yeah, that's old man talk.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's just stuff you don't like.
Well, I like Bruno. Mars and
Maroon
5.
I try to listen to a bunch of stuff. There is some. Now, I'm a huge soul fan. I mean, I am a, you know, musically speaking, a 75-year-old black man because soul music from Memphis soul and Muscle Shoals soul, that kind of stuff.
If you guys knew Sean, you would know how funny that last statement was.
I listen to that just all the time.
Oh, no, I think
there's new soul that's coming out.
Like what?
These bands, if you type in on Pandora, mm-hmm. St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Okay.
And it'll bring up St. Paul and the Broken Bone Radio. You know, you just listen to that. Well, they play all this new soul that's unbelievable. Like them, Alabama Shakes. You've got Leon, God dang it, Leon Bridges from Fort Worth, Texas. Mm-hmm. Guys like him and Mofro is fantastic. But these guys sound like they could have been producing that stuff at the Stax Chapel in Memphis in 1965.
Do you buy the whole vinyl argument over today's digital processing? That if you listen to a record on vinyl, it has a what's the word I'm looking for? More depth to the sound.
Absolutely does.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
See, maybe I don't have a discerning ear, or maybe after all these years of using headphones, I just can't hear it anymore.
Right.
But I hear a classic song on vinyl. All I can hear is the.
Really?
You know, and but when in a digital copy, It just sounds crisp and clean, and I prefer it.
I don't know. There's just something to analog that is just, yeah, it has a soul to it, and it has depth, I think.
My youngest bought a turntable the other day. Did I tell you?
No, but that's becoming hugely popular, and you know, so many even new artists put their stuff out on vinyl now. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, with the supply chain crisis, that's kind of
yeah.
it's kind of odd they'd be doing that because you know, and digital, once they made the conversion, and I mean I remember working at a TV station when Napster came out. And we were downloading stuff like crazy.
Oh, that yeah, cost. Absolutely.
And our management had to come out and said, if this is on your computer, get rid of it. We're going to get sued. You're going to get fired. It was like, oh, the music industry was really clamping down on.
Well, yeah, I mean, the FBI even, you know, they've made examples of a few people.
Oh, sure.
That were just serial downloaders.
And back to that conversation, you know, the artists need to get paid. And I get that. And but when after they found out, hey, we could cut down production costs, we could put out records like now and be instantaneously around the globe like that. Once the music industry made that conversion, they dominate it. Now they innovate it.
Oh yeah.
So and I just find it odd that now after all of that heartache and heartburn, and then. Everybody's digital now, and then now some artists are saying, "Hey, man, let's go back to vinyl."
yeah, it's there's you know, and so many huge artists are doing the same thing, putting their stuff out on vinyl, and I just think it's cool, and for kids to get a turntable, and I don't know if you trolled eBay at all, if you're looking for you know an old Techniques from 1981 or something, the prices are ridiculous. So if you have any of that stuff laying around your garage, you might dust it off and put it up on eBay.
Vinyl records sitting somewhere, probably warped up in my attic now because it's been a bazillion degrees, but
right.
I saved them because I mean, I got some 45s and some albums in there.
Yeah.
And, maybe I was smart enough when I put them inside the air conditioned comfort of the home, but by the way, back to the Halloween real quick, before I forget, I used to have. A full-on, my brother bought this for me 1 year, and it was expensive. It was a full-blown store-bought costume from the movies of Batman. It was a full-blown Batman costume.
Wow.
I kept that Hummer for 20 years, dude. And I would dress up when the kids came around. I would dress up at Halloween, and I'd stand in front of my house, and I'd just stand there and wait for the trick-or-treaters like a statue.
Right.
And they thought... I was a statue, and they would walk by and is he for real? And then one kid would go by me, I let him go, and the next kid would go, oh, it's just a statue, and then I'd move and just freak them out. It was like it was that I have been looking for a rather reasonable, not cheap, but reasonable Batman costume, and they're not making them like that anymore. And this was then
after all the candy was handed out to you and. Doing the wife played a little cosplay. And
yeah, a little cosplay. Yeah,
she was.
I was Batman, and she was Catwoman. Yes,
she was in trouble, and you were there to save her.
Break out the whip, honey. Yeehaw. Yes, and YouTube. In case you're wondering, there was no medical procedure involved in that, so you don't have to cancel me. Anything else that you paid attention to this week that was...
Obviously the big stuff, the raid and blah, blah, blah. But,
yeah. Well, what about gas prices?
Don't care anymore.
Are you... Now, they've come down, I think, 80% or 80 cents, rather, not 80%. 80 cents
yeah.
on average across the country.
And everybody's celebrating it.
Everybody's
looking, okay, oh, look at this. Gas is down 80 cents. Yeah, well, it's not down $2.50 like it was 2 years ago.
Exactly.
I was thinking about this the other day.
But wait a minute. Who's saying that you know that is saying, yay, it's down 80 cents?
Dude,
listen
to a newscast.
Well, yeah, only the douchebags in the news,
but they're all, good news.
Shut up.
Gas is down 80% or 80 cents.
But you know what? Everybody at home, when some jackwagon on news says that, everybody at home is saying exactly what you are saying.
No, and
screw
what
you.
What they're going to do is everybody's going to get used to paying $3.50.
Not me.
And everybody's going to go, well, it's $5.
So not me, dude. Right.
And then, you know, we'll say, oh, look at Biden. Look what he did. Yeah, well, not me either.
But no, I still wish I had that packet full of stickers that said I did this with Joe Biden. Yeah. Like a stick around. I can't stand it.
I was thinking about gas the other day as I'm filling up and paying another $75. That with the infrastructure that we've had, I mean, we've had gasoline-powered cars in America since 1904, well, probably earlier than that, but I mean, the Model T took off in 1904.
Okay.
I could understand $5 a gallon gas in 1904 because there was no infrastructure. But now we've done it for you know, 200 year, 100 years, 120 years, and we have the entire infrastructure built. They should be giving it away almost.
When was the last refinery that was built in the United States? Do you know?
I know. It's like 1973 or something.
30 years
ridiculous
ago.
Ridiculous like that.
Over 30 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, so, no, I know. I don't like thinking about it. So,
well,
because there's nothing you can do about it.
Well,
other than you can plan your trips better. You can lower your speed. You can do all that stuff.
Well, everybody's already doing it, dude. They're already doing it. They're cutting back.
The fact of the matter is,
the reason why it's dropping is because people are like, oh, crap, I can't afford it. So they're not spending. And guess what that's doing to the economy?
Yeah.
It's tanking the economy.
Yeah.
Which, that's predictable. That I had a buddy of mine who's an economist who says, the best cure for high prices is what? High prices.
Yeah.
That's the best cure because nobody can afford to pay it. So guess what?
Yeah.
Demand drops because you can't afford to pay the crap anymore. And people are making the tough choices. That's why people, I think that's why people are pissed off in general, is because, like I said, from the litigious society we live in, you can't play music and have fun with and do games anymore. You can't afford to go on vacation anymore. You can't afford to do the things you want. Hell, you know, it's a choice between, hey, can we go get an ice cream when it's a bazillion degrees outside? Or do I have to save the money to fill up my gas tank so I can go to slave away at work just so I can keep a roof over our head? Those types of choices that Americans have to make us pissed off. I'm sorry, they just do. They just do.
Yep.
I mean, it's to that point, man. It's like, oh, do we go get some ice cream? Oh, no, we can't afford it. We got to put gas in the car.
I know, man.
And you can't afford your ice cream, man. When you got to start digging in your seat cushions because you can't, everything else that you got in the house either goes to food or your gas tank.
I mean, the only reason I was scrambling is because I never have cash anymore. So it's like, maybe he's got a Squarespace.
I was going to say, he's probably got one of those.
Maybe I can use my debit card to go get my rocket pop.
So if you're out in West Texas one day and you hear and you see a rather large man going ice cream, it's probably Sean.
Yes, I'll be waddling out. Yep, that's me, man.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for another trip down memory lane. And
sure,
you know what? I hope we do get the death of our musical artists in short spurts. You know, they say they come in groups of three. Let's just hope. Because any more than that is just overkill.
But no boy, they're all getting up there.
I know.
It's going to be a tidal wave of dead rockers.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's my new band, Tidal Wave of Dead Rockers.
Yeah. There you go. Tonight at Trees.
Sean Chastain, everybody. The show behind the show. Thanks, buddy.
All right, man.
And that's going to put a wrap on this Salcedo Storm podcast. Folks, make sure you find us on chrissalcedo.com. There you can drop me an email. You can drop me a voicemail. Give me some suggestions about some stuff you'd like us to talk about here on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Also, while you're there, check out where you can find the Chris Salcedo Show on AM 700 KSEV. There's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. And you can also catch us on Newsmax TV, 4 o'clock in the afternoon until 5, Monday through Friday, always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. Society's worth, it's not measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. See ya.
It's another hurricane season. And right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
Manteniendo libros en la casa, preparan a sus hijos para la escuela y los ponen en un paso fijo hacia el futuro. Books Begin at Birth les brinda acceso a libros y recursos gratis para familias con niños menores de 4 años para ayudarlos desde temprano a leer y escribir. Las probabilidades para triunfar en la escuela son mejores cuando hay muchos libros en la casa. El futuro de sus hijos empieza hoy. Visite Books Begin at Birth online en b3tx.org para empezar a leer juntos.